Luke chapter 13. I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 9 here this evening. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Good to be here with the saints of God. Good to hear the wonderful things that God has done. And I realize as we begin that testimony service that everybody's mind kind of begin to wonder, where do I go? How do I start? Which part do I share? And then some of y'all may have just been scared to death that she's going to testify. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I remember those years, you know, when I was scared to testify. But then I remember those years when I wasn't scared to testify, because it was a time to glorify God. It was a time to magnify God. It was time to worship God for the great things that He had done. And it was a time where something God had done for me might help somebody else too. That's what testimonies are all about. It's for you to be encouraged in what God's done in your life, and then knowing because He's done it in yours, it will help somebody else. Praise our God. Hallelujah. So you'll know you have grown a little bit spiritually and in maturity when you realize testimony service is a time to exalt God, not just be scared to testify. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13, verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Praise our God. You can be seated again this evening. I want to preach tonight on production power. Production. That's a word that you hear out in the workforce, in the work field, of what the employer is wanting out of the employee. Production. Fruit. It's not an uncommon terminology even in the world today. When someone hires you and you are put into the workforce, they are expecting your labor to bring forth something that is going to bring gain to them and is going to help that company. And they are willing to pay you well if you work well. Production. But the power to produce. Production power. If you'll notice in this portion of Scripture that we've read here tonight already, there was a problem. There was no fruit. The tree was not doing what it was supposed to be doing. The tree was not bearing forth why it was planted, or for the reason that it was planted. It was not bringing productivity to its owner, to its master. And the reality is that sometimes there needs to be a little bit of help to get production going. A little bit of push, if you will. Now, when the pilgrims first came to America, they had a very, very difficult time that first winter. Multitudes of them died. And as the next year began to roll around, they began to receive help from the Indians that were already here. And so the Indians told the pilgrims that they would help them plant their crops. And so the first thing the Indians began to share with the pilgrims, they said, we need to go fishing. And the pilgrims are like, we got to work. We got to plant the crops. We don't need to go fishing. And they said, no, you don't understand. That's part of productivity. I'm using that word. They didn't use that word, but I'm using that word because of what we're preaching on here tonight. That's part of productivity. In other words, the preparation of the ground. The preparation as you plant the seed. And of course, what they were showing the pilgrims is you go fishing, you catch fish, and as you're planting the grain, you plant the fish right there with it. And as the grain begins to grow and the plant begins to grow, the fish begins to deteriorate, becomes fertilizer for that plant, and thus you have a great productivity in that crop. It's just God-given fertilizer, if you will. Something to help the plants grow. And so the pilgrims learned a valuable lesson from the Indians of how to make productivity happen. Praise God. And you see, what I want to share here tonight is that all through the Scripture, the Bible begins to tell us, begins to give us instruction that we are to bring forth fruit in the kingdom of God. You and I have been saved not to sit somewhere, not to be idle somewhere, but you and I have been saved to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom of God, the fruits of Jesus Christ, to bring forth that life-transforming light shining on the face of this earth. Fruit is not an option. We preached on that thought pattern before. It is something God expects. God, something God desires, and something that is God is going to begin to work to make sure that it will happen. Production power. Now, John 15, very familiar portion of Scripture. You know, abiding in Christ is going to bring forth fruit. Jesus begins to share, John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How do you glorify God? Fruit. Bringing forth fruit. Much fruit. A lot of times, we get really excited because we brought forth a little bit of fruit. We did a little bit of right. We finally got it right one time. We get excited, and we should. But don't stop there. Do it again. Much fruit. Much fruit. Hallelujah. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciplined men and women. Hallelujah. That's what disciples are. Fruit bearing is really, really linked to being a disciple. Romans 6 and 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So now we're getting a little bit of description of the kind of fruit God wants in our lives. Holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is not a list of rules or regulations or rituals that we can write down and try to get them all fulfilled and say, holiness is now in my life. Holiness means separate from this world. Holiness means separated unto God. Holiness is a mind frame. Holiness is a heart condition that brings forth righteousness into my life. Holiness is my attitude towards the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness is when Jesus Christ leads me, guides me, directs me, and has every access to every part of my life, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And that then becomes fruit of holiness. In other words, I'm not thinking like the world thinks anymore. I'm not acting like the world acts anymore. I'm not talking like the world talks anymore. I'm not desiring what the world wants anymore, because everything about my life now is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of my soul, the Lord of my life, hallelujah, and the King that's about to return. That's what holiness is all about, is that I am living unto the Lord. Everything I'm doing is for Him and not for selfish gain. Notice the terminology that was spoken, that we have become servants to God. A servant. You understand a servant. Let me throw it to you like this. You go into a restaurant. You sit down. The waiter or the waitress comes. They look at you. And they say, you need something like salad. And you say, I would like a hamburger and french fries. And the waitress or the waiter says, no, you don't need that. I think you really need this. What would you do? You would realize real quick they are not serving me. She or he is not really concerned about what I want. They're wanting to tell me what they want me to do. They're not being a servant at all, are they? Are you getting the picture? Do you try to tell God what you will do, what you won't do? Are you really being a servant unto God? Because becoming a servant is all part of holiness. Becoming a servant is all part of Christianity. Becoming a servant unto the Lord as I am laying down my life that His might be lived in me. Woo, hallelujah. That's fruit. That's the fruit God is after in the lives of His believers. Why? Because He laid down His life so that you could become fruitful. He laid down His life so that you could become part of the kingdom of God. He laid down His life that our sins could be washed away. He laid down His life that our life could be changed. Hallelujah. So He has every right in heaven to expect fruit in my life. In my life. Fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. See, they're linked together. Galatians chapter 5 and 22 and 23, very, very glamorized portion of Scripture. You see it on pictures, you see it on plaques, you see it on pendants, you see it on posters, you know, everywhere you go in a Bible bookstore. You're not going to see this all in the world, but in a Bible bookstore, you're going to see this quite often. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Fruit. Fruit. God expects fruit. God desires fruit. Fruit glorifies God. Fruit helps souls to be saved. Hallelujah. Fruit is the vital, important part of Christianity, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Joy. Praise our God. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Do you realize long-suffering is just a synonym for patience? patience, patience, patience. I said something about patience, I think, Thursday night. Patience. You know, that thing we all have, patience. Patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And do you realize that patience or long-suffering, hallelujah, has to be linked to gentleness? Because when things don't go your way, do you handle it gently? I would say most of the time, no. But that's where fruit needs to grow. Hallelujah. That's why fruit continually grows. Because we're not always able to get accomplished that which is right. That's why we've got a hunger and we've got a thirst after righteousness, or we'll never do anything about it in our lives. Unrighteousness is sin. But yet, why do we think it's okay not to do right? Why do we excuse ourselves when we lose our patience? Why do we excuse ourselves, hey, when we get mad at people because they're not serving me? Because at the same time, we're not serving Him. Why should we get mad at somebody that's not serving us? Woo! Wow. Fruit. It's not an option, church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, I don't know whether you think of it like this or like I do, but the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22, we can say, we can kind of limit it to just these. Woo, praise God. But in Ephesians, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, all righteousness, all truth. Hallelujah. There is such a vastness to what the Spirit of God can bring in an individual's life if we are serious and have great desire to produce fruit. To do what's right, to do what's good, and embrace truth on a personal plane of living it. Matthew 12 and 33. This is what God is saying. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Matthew chapter 7 verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 3 and 10. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Now notice that when we started in Luke chapter 13, there was no fruit. The master was angry because there was no fruit. Now we're seeing that the axe is being laid to the tree because there's bad fruit. A portion of scripture that says, if the light that be in you be darkness, great is that darkness. And that seems like it's not really a right statement. How can there be darkness if there's light? Because you're not acting upon the light. In other words, the fruit is rotten. And the axe is going to be laid to that tree. And it's going to be cast into the fire because the fruit wasn't good fruit. It wasn't fruit come from God. It was man in his self-righteousness trying to say, I'm just as good as anybody else. That's bad fruit. That's rotten fruit. And that fruit is not going to help someone get into the kingdom of heaven. Realize that we are saved by grace, but because grace has abounded towards our lives, God expects much out of our lives. Because that grace has brought to us God's great plan of salvation. And what's it going to do? It's going to turn us from ungodliness. And it's going to turn us from unrighteousness. And we're going to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what grace does for a man and for a woman, for a boy, for a girl. The grace of God begins to transform and begin to bring forth fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. That's what we've read. So make the tree good or make it bad. What kind of fruit is it? What kind of fruit is it? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for good fruit. He's looking for all goodness and righteousness and truth. In Luke chapter 8, number 14, it says, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit unto perfection." Young people, you're not exempt from fruit just because you're a young person. Just because you're a young person, it's not okay to fill your life with everything of this world and not fill it with the things of God. It's not okay. What that does is make you unfruitful. It makes you to where you are not revealing Jesus Christ. You're just revealing your lack of desire for Jesus Christ. Because if you've got great desire for Jesus Christ, you're going to lay down anything and everything so you can have more of Him. So that you can walk with Him. You can fellowship with Him. You can talk with Him. Hallelujah. Just because you're a young person. How many realize that Jesus Christ was 12 years old at one point in His life? I mean, you're over 12, aren't you, Lydia? I thought you... Isaac, he's 11, right? Yeah. And then Titus, you know, he's thinking, teenager. That means you're already 12. Do you know what Jesus was doing when He was 12? What was He doing? Learning in the temple. Are you learning anything, Grant, when you come to the house of God? Awesome. Because that's why you're here. Are you learning enough to change your life? Or are you just learning great things and still haven't done anything about changing your life? Have you really embraced discipline in your life, young people? Because that's the hardest thing for young people to embrace is disciplines in their life. If you can't embrace them as a young person, you're going to have a real hard time with them when you get old like me. Somewhere along the line, you've got to start embracing producing more fruit. Discipline in your life so it can be more godly. It can be more righteous. It can be more holy. Because it takes discipline to do that. Because you have, and I'm just kind of repeating myself from Thursday night. You have to say no. No. Just downright no. I ain't going there. I ain't going to do it. Oh, don't fall out with me, young people. I've got schoolwork to do, so the video games stay in dormant. It's called discipline. Sorry, young folks. We ain't got to have chapel this year yet. We might have some now. We're having pre-chapel here, right here tonight for our young people. Praise God. Production power. That's what we're preaching on in chapel tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 21, verse number 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Now this portion of Scripture's got some wonderful things in it. To the reality is we're going to escape the wrath of God. We're not appointed under wrath. That's why we watch. That's why we pray. So we will be ready when the trumpet sounds. But notice he gave a warning. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, that means you might have not done it up to this point, but all of a sudden you become more interested. You become more occupied. You become more desirous with your food, with your drinking, and with all the things that life throws at us. Every pleasure under the sun, and all of a sudden you find yourself totally occupied with everything except Jesus Christ. And you started out right. I don't know, have you ever seen people backslide? They started out right. They started out living. They started out fruitful. They started out humble. They started out kind. They started out meek. They started out hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But somewhere along the line, their heart or their desires became more greater for the things of this world than the things of God. And they've lost out with God, and there is no fruit in their lives at all. That is very possible, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Why? Because there's power for production. We're getting there. There's power. Fruit's not an option. God's looking for fruit in our lives. When fruit is being produced in our lives, He's going to begin to purge and work in our lives to bring forth more fruit. He's going to keep leading us and guiding us away from those things that distract us and pull us back to the world. And we're going to begin to produce more fruit. And He's going to keep working. Oh, that's some of these testimonies that I heard tonight. God's working. God's moving. God's dealing. God's directing. Hallelujah. 2021, we're going forward. We're going higher. We're going deeper. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't want bowls full of good intentions, but we just want a little bit of change. Woo! A little bit of change is more than a bowl full of good intentions. Hallelujah. We want to change. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. Repent! Praise our God! Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. God's still in control, church. He had prophets talking about it since the world has begun. Hallelujah. All things will be fulfilled. But they're sharing here the reality that we've got to turn away from sin. We've got to turn away from unfruitfulness. He was preaching to those that hadn't accepted Jesus Christ yet. But the principle is still there. The reality is still there. Be converted. What's that mean? Change your mind about what you think you are, who you think you are, and how well you think you're doing. And ask God, show me. Show me. Show me. Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see where I'm really at, so that you can have, what did He want this morning? What did He speak? Availability. That you can have access into my life. So repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's good for right now. Even after I've accepted Jesus Christ, even after I've walked with God, but I've allowed things to distract me, desensitize me, and draw me into a place of limbo. I'm sure you've heard the terminology, can't straddle the fence. You're going to have to be on one side or the other. You know, call the tree good or call it bad. There's no in-between ground. If we're trying to be in between, we're headed the wrong direction, because there's one way to the pearly gates. Hallelujah. It's that way called straight. Glory. Glory to our God. And so we see then, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, that's right now. That's Pentecost. That's that last days, Brother Jason was talking about. That we're in the last days and God's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. God poured out His Holy Ghost right here in this sanctuary this morning. Hallelujah. And it's up to you and I that we make sure we take advantage of it and we press into the depths of it and we move with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And not just spectate and say, oh, God was good. Woo, hallelujah. We've got to become that participator and we've got to have those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. What is that? That is that production power. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit of God. When He can begin to move me with the message, move me with the truths, move me with the Spirit of God, and I go forth worshiping and praising and acknowledging Him. Hallelujah. And I come forth refreshed. When I'm refreshed, I'm going to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Because those times of refreshing are going to arouse and awaken me to the carnality of my actions and deeds. What am I saying? The Spirit of God is going to show me how foolish I've been for the actions I've did. Being lazy and complacent. Oh, he talked about that this morning, didn't he? Moving from my comfort zone. In other words, getting out of that rut and that pattern of my life that ain't really been so sweet or so good. Getting out of that comfort zone and pressing towards Jesus Christ when the presence of the Lord comes to refresh. You realize, you understand, just because God moves in this house doesn't mean He moves you. Doesn't mean because God moves in this house, He's changing you. Because that's totally up to how you respond to how God's moving in this house. If you just watch everybody else get changed, you need to go ahead and get up and get in the line. And get changed yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because that's what God is doing. That is the production power. Hallelujah. That is the power that is going to help you and I bring forth the fruit that is not an option. It's what God expects from us because He's washed us. He's cleansed us. Hallelujah. Some of us He's filled with His Spirit. Some of us are seeking the Spirit. And some of us are scared to death of the Spirit. Amen. But there's one thing about it. We need the power of the Holy Ghost of God to bring forth the fruit God desires to bring in our lives. We can't, what Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. And we don't understand that to abide in Christ is more than quoting that scripture. I have encountered this different times. People think just because they quote Scripture, they're spiritual. The devil quotes Scripture, and he is not spiritual, my friend. Just quoting Scripture and just believing that's a good Scripture is not spirituality. Spirituality is when that Scripture becomes my way of life. That's when I become spiritual with Scripture. Hallelujah. And when I realize abiding in Jesus Christ is not a matter of having a good feeling about Jesus, abiding in Jesus Christ is where I'm ready to be crucified that Christ might live in me. I'm ready to die out to self that Christ might come alive. I'm ready to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus Christ, not just feel good about Him. Hallelujah. Oh, there's got to be great action for fruit to come forth. Hallelujah. And so we see then Jesus Christ is coming because they're preaching it on the day of Pentecost. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not, but right here in this portion of Scripture, He's talking about being converted, turning to Jesus Christ, and He's talking about the dispensation of the Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh, times of refreshing, and He shall send Jesus Christ. He's talking about the return of Jesus Christ too. Praise God. They were talking about the return of Jesus Christ ever since Jesus Christ left. Because they knew there was nothing given that he wouldn't return at any moment of time. Paul was looking for the return of Jesus Christ in his day and his hour. Be ready. Be ready. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And I did these backwards on purpose. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Production power. And ye shall receive power. Praise God. The baptism in the Holy Ghost and the times of refreshing from the presence of God is the power that God gives to us to discipline our lives and to go forth doing right. To go forth bringing forth the fruit of righteousness. Bringing forth the fruit of holiness. Bringing forth the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the faith, the temperance. Discipline. Hallelujah. Glory. Because there is no ritual, there is no list, there is no law that's going to bring this to pass in your life. It's not going to do any good for someone else to always have to make your decisions for you when it comes to living for God. It doesn't take away from the teaching, doesn't take away from the preaching. Hallelujah. I mean, it doesn't take away from the lectures from moms, from the lectures from dads. Telling you, this is how you need to live. This is what you need to do. This is what's right. But we can talk to you till we're blue in the face. But until you're ready to produce fruit, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you just ain't going to get it done. You just ain't going to get it done. Because it's only done by the power of the Holy Ghost as we surrender our lives to Him. Production power. See, we've got everything available to us to produce the fruit God needs in these last days. Hallelujah. We have production power. Hallelujah. Smith Wigglesworth wonderfully expressed it this way. There are two sides to the baptism, speaking of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The first is that you possess the Spirit. The second is that the Spirit possesses you. This is my message at this time. Being possessed by the baptizer and not merely possessing the baptizer. There is no limit to the possibilities of such a life because it has God behind it, in the midst of it, and through it. I see people from time to time very slack, cold, and indifferent, but after they get filled with this Holy Spirit, they become a blaze for God. I believe that God's ministers are to be flames of fire. Nothing less than flames, nothing less than mighty instruments with burning messages, with a heart full of love, with such a depth of consecration that God has taken full charge of the body, and it exists only that it may manifest the glory of God. Have you ever read in the scriptures where your body's not your own? It belongs to God. You and I are to give spirit, soul, and body. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It is a transaction of when you realize the Spirit of God is coming in. And you give yourself to Him. This is what it takes to come forth speaking in other tongues. It takes a being possessed of the Spirit of God. Being controlled of the Spirit of God. Not that he will make you, but that you are willingly available for him to have his way with you. Woo. Praise our God. The production power. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost that God the Father has given to Jesus Christ to pour out upon his church. It's not just for a mere blessing, though it is a blessing. It is not just for joy, though it is the greatest joy you will ever know. But it is for power to produce the fruit God expects in our personal lives on a daily basis. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christianity 101, if you will. Hallelujah. The power of production comes from God. That's why God is so displeased when there is no fruit, because there is not really a reasonable reason why there is no fruit in a believer's life that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. But yet every one of us realize there's been times in our lives where we just really haven't given everything to God. And in the last year and a half, multitudes have come to that reality and have given more to God than they ever have before. But don't stop now. There is power for production. When you go to the parable of the seed and the sower, you will find that some bring forth 30, some 40, some 60, some 100-fold. What is that? That's men and women that are hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God, and they have the power of production going on. They've got production power moving in their hearts and their lives, and thus they are not concerned about themselves. They are concerned about Jesus Christ and his word being preached, his word being lived, fruit coming forth in their lives. They are more concerned about whatever God wants done in their lives than they are about anything else. I think we've got a church full of them. Or we're getting there. Or we're getting there. Production power, the baptism in the Holy Ghost given unto the believers so that they might become fruitful in the things of the kingdom of God. This is what God is after in your life and mine. This is the power it's going to take, and this is what it's going to take to win the lost. The fruit of holiness, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of truth. We can comfort people, and we should, but only Jesus Christ can lift the burden. Only Jesus Christ can wash away the sin. Only Jesus Christ can change the heart. Hallelujah. So there will be there to be a shoulder to cry on, but will also be there to be that light to shine, that salt to the earth, to help point men and women to the one that they really need. I'll help you as much as I can, church. I'll give you anything I've got. I'll go anywhere you need me to go, but only Jesus Christ can transform your life. Stand with me if you would. Sister Lindsay, would you come back to the piano this evening? Hallelujah. Production power. God has provided it. He's washed our sins away. He's given us a new creature in Jesus Christ. We know that we belong to God, but that's not enough, and we ain't going to stop there. We've got to move on to the production line. We got to move on to the work that he's asked for us to do. We got to move on to bring fruitful in our personal daily lives so that our light will shine. Because remember, if the light that's in you is darkness, what's that mean? You're not letting your light shine. Really simple. Knowing, experiencing, having, but yet not sharing. What is that? That's having light, but being darkness about it. Huh. How about it, young people? Who was the last one you shared Jesus Christ with? Who was the last one you shared your testimony with outside of the house of God? Maybe somebody you've met here, there, somewhere. You want to get exempt from Facebook? Start sharing Jesus Christ on your Facebook page. Start preaching about Jesus Christ and holy living and righteous living, and quit looking at all the filth that's on social media and share Christ. So that's what we use social media for. We share Christ. Don't use it for the lust of your flesh. Don't use it for your personal desires. Use it to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Show young people how to live for God. Show young people the power of production. Whether you realize it or not, young people, you are the young people of Calvary Lighthouse Church. And when other young people come through those doors, you're the light that's supposed to be shining. You're the power they're supposed to see. You're the example that they are supposed to follow. Make sure you're leading them higher and not farther away. Because that's what God's called you to do. He's called you to be a light. He's called you to produce fruit. He's called you to win young people to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Praise God. Some of the stories that were shared of Azusa Street actually came from young people. As the young people would come in and they would begin to pray, Spirit of God began to move. They'd go pray for people also and God would heal them. Young people, there's no reason why you can't touch somebody and heal them by the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no reason why you can't bring forth a message in tongues. It's not for adults, it's for believers. But once again, you're going to have power for production. You're going to have a walk with Christ where you know His voice. His sheep know His voice. It's not just for young people, it's for older folks too. The Spirit of God wants to be poured out, wants to be used, and He'll choose you. But have you chosen Him when He chooses you? Oh, there's such potential standing in this sanctuary tonight. Such potential that God sees. Such greatness that God wants to bring forth in the lives of children, teenagers, young people, young adults, everybody. Because He has the power for production that He wants to freely pour out upon all those who are thirsty. Thirsty for Him. Praise God. Let's come. Let's gather around these altars here tonight. Let's close. As you're praying, as you're opening your heart to the Lord, as God's touching your heart, touching your life, and you come to a close of that moment with God, go ahead and pray for your brothers. Go ahead and pray for your sisters that need help from the Lord and we're not able to be here tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead and touch the throne for your own heart, your own life, your own need. Then touch the throne for those that couldn't be here tonight.